their smartphone, however you turn there. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 15 and Luke chapter 2. I always try to have you turn to at least one passage, or try to go to and want something in the Old Testament, something in the New Testament. So go to Psalms chapter 15 and Luke chapter 2. I'm going to bring a message today that's kind of not on our what we've been on. We've been in a series about how to fight the good fight of faith or understanding the good fight of faith and what that really is. And I'm going to pick that back up after Easter because I feel like next Sunday, something I'm studying for now, there's two things. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and so we're going to talk about the day before the cross on that Sunday, what happened that day. In fact, next Sunday, we typically do this on Easter Sunday, but we're going to have communion together corporately next Sunday on Palm Sunday because it goes with the message that I'm going to bring about the day before the cross. And then on Easter Sunday, I'm going to bring a message and this a teaching about what happened those 3 days before he rose again. What happened those three, what really happened those 3 days. And that's what's going to be the Easter message. And today, most of you know, I had little kids up here pinching me because I don't have any green on. I'm like, get out of here. Go to children's church. You know? But so I've been thinking about this week, and it made me about today being March the 17th, falling on a Sunday. And we always hear, you know, the Irish and St. Paddy's Day and the luck of the Irish and all this. And I looked up the definition of luck, and luck means a force that brings good fortune or adversity. Luck was a big factor in the outcome, the events or circumstances that operate for or against an individual. And I came across a guy one time, and this is what he said, and I've never forgot it. I can't remember really who he was, but this guy said this statement, and I was like, man, that's good. I'm going to have to remember that. And he goes, I don't believe in luck. He goes, in fact, this is how I spell luck. I spell luck, L-O-R-D, Lord, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want to preface that with this, though. There's a lot of people, though, that walk around and they treat Jesus like a rabbit's foot or a mascot, okay? Like Jesus is my little rabbit's foot. If I rub the genie, you know, Jesus enough, everything's going to happen for me. I treat him as my mascot. Jesus don't want to be your rabbit's foot. He doesn't want to be your mascot. He wants to be your Lord, L-O-R-D. And that means Lord over every area of your life, not just your Savior, but your Lord. And so I want to give you 10 keys to the favor of God today, because whenever after you get saved and you come into a relationship with the Lord, one of the things that God wants us all to do, and it's not just people that are in full-time ministry, but he wants every Christian to walk in the favor of God. Because if you're walking in the favor of God, you're an advertisement for the kingdom of God. And here's the deal. The body of Christ, we've been living in such a... You can't even tell the church from the world in this day. And God is trying... God is shining the light and exposing a lot of that, and is saying it's time for the real church to rise up and be the church and walk in my favor and show this world who Jesus really is. And we're going to look at different things, and I see a lot of teenagers in here this morning, and I'm so thankful for that. And I want to say something right here. The favor of God is because some people, it's not age appropriate. You can walk in the favor of God as a little kid. You can walk in the favor of God as a teenager. You can walk in the favor of God as an elderly person, all right? Some of us young ones, we think, well, I got to go out and sow my wild oats, and one of these days I'll walk in the favor of God. Don't think like that, amen? That's a thought from the pit of hell. Don't put this off. God wants you walking in the favor of God right now. And one of the best scriptures, and this scripture just, we always hear this one around Christmas time, and it says, the angel went to her, talking about Mary, and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And I tell you what, we could stop right there and just ponder this scripture all morning. But this little girl, Mary, was a teenager. And God saw something in her and showed up in her house, sent the angel to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And she was a teenager. God saw something in this little girl. And we're going to talk about some of the things that he saw. There's 10 things that I believe that he sees in people that walk in the favor of God. And we have a choice in this, guys. It don't just come on you. Okay? Just don't, the anointing just don't come on you, or the favor of God just don't come on you because it just comes on you. You have a part to play in this with God. You're in partnership with him. And so we're going to look at, there's different ones in the Bible. You could take a lot of different, you can see this in lots of people in the Bible, but we're going to see it in Noah. We're going to see it in Joseph. We're going to see it in Esther. We're going to see it in Ruth. And we're going to see it in David. That's some of the scriptures that I've picked out this morning. So here's what is the, so I'm going to talk about this. What is the favor of God? The favor of God is something granted out of goodwill, a gift bestowed as a token of regard, love, or friendliness. Here's the deal. God's looking for friends today. He's looking for friends. He wants fellowship. He wants friends. God tells his secrets to his friends. Abraham was a friend of God. David was a friend of God. Moses was a friend of God. And the ones I just listed, they were friends of God. God shared his secrets with them, and he also put his favor upon them. I want that. And here's the deal. You might be saying, well, I'm not perfect. Well, guess what? They weren't either. You just need to study their lives. Not a one. Abraham lied about his wife twice, okay? I guarantee you, he wasn't walking in the favor of God with his wife. Amen? If his wife had to choose, thank God it wasn't his wife's choice, right? It wasn't Sarah's choice. It was God's choice. God said, well, he's still a man after my own heart. He said that about David. He also said that about Abraham was a friend of God, okay? So number three is preferential treatment, and number four is advantage. Those are just some definitions of what the favor of God is. The favor of God is the guarantee of his presence and the provision of his power to accomplish his special purpose in and through your life. And it's the unexplainable evidence of God's goodness towards you. The unexplainable evidence of God's goodness towards you. Now, we're going to go through these 10 keys here in just a second. I'll give you the first one here in just a second. However, it's important to note that when I refer to favor this morning, I don't mean favoritism, okay? We know that God does not show partiality, even though you may think that you're God's favorite, you're not. But he does show favor, because here's the deal, God loves everyone. And favor is not love. God loves everyone the same. It's not grace. We're saved through grace by faith. That's for everyone. It's also not about blessing, although God's favor does lead to blessing. Favor is something more, and it will change your life to walk in this. God's favor is not a formula, and to find God's favor, we must develop a favor-minded mindset. Okay? It starts here. Favor mindset. I'm going to just give you a little word that you can use with your spouse if you're married or your friends or whatever. You just tell them, I'm walking in the fog, and that means I'm walking in the favor of God. I'm in the fog. And anytime something happens to you where it's preferential, where it's an advantage, where something happens, you don't need to say it's luck or it's coincidence. You need to say, I'm walking in the fog. Because every time you say that, you're building your faith towards that. God hears that, and guess what? More things are going to happen for you. I'm talking in the smallest of things to the biggest of things. I said this one time to a guy whenever I was wanting to go play golf one day, just have a good rest day and play golf with a friend of mine. We pulled around a corner because I'd left my golf shoes at home, and I didn't have my keys. And I thought, Jada, if she's at home, I can still get my golf shoes. And so when we come around the corner, he was driving me to the house, and I said, oh, praise God, she's at home. And he goes, God didn't do that. And I said, yes, he did. God kept her from leaving so I could get home to get my golf shoes to go play golf. And he was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, this guy literally put it, he's like, whatever. And I was like, in my mind and in my heart, God did that. God caused her to stall a little bit so that I could get my golf shoes. And you might say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, Pastor Mark. And I'm going to tell you, that's how small you need to start saying the favor of God. And then you start seeing it in bigger things. Amen. That's time that you're stalled in traffic, maybe because there's an accident about to happen and God's trying to keep you out of it. All right, favor of God. I don't know how many times we've missed the favor of God because we don't acknowledge God about it. So we have to develop this favor mindset, and then we got to confess God's favor over our lives, that we're just constantly walking in the fog. I expect good things to happen. I had a grandma, my grandma Lita, she's in an assisted living center now, but she would always believe and say, I'm walking in the fog, and I believe for front row parking anywhere she went, and it always opened up. And she had it happen one time to her. She'd come pulling into a store, and somebody backed right out, and she said, praise God. And they looked at her like, you're crazy. God didn't cause that person to back out and give you the... She goes, oh, yes, she did, because I believe this all the time. I believe for front row parking everywhere I go. God caused that to happen. And that person was with her. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Let them say whatever. But after a while, they're going to say, I want your God. I want the God of favor upon my life too. So start using this phrase, that's the favor of God, I'm in the fog. So everybody say, I'm in the fog. All right. I'm going to give you 10 keys today to the favor of God. And some of them you're going to say, well, that's elementary. But I'm going to tell you, we all need to be reminded of this, okay? And here's number one. Number one is just to love God. We have got to love God. Just you showing up this morning for church tells me that you love God. Amen? That's just one way of loving God. And so I love what Proverbs, and I'm going to give you scriptures on each one of these points. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. That's how you win favor, is by loving God first, loving His Word. That you get in this Word. You have a daily habit of getting into this Word, a routine of getting this Word, and you don't just get into the Word to read it and say, I'll check off my obligation for today that I read my devotional, but you actually let this Word read you. That's what separates this book from any other book on the planet, is this book actually reads you. You just don't read it. It reads you. And so God wants you, number one, is to love Him. And it's not just the Sunday relationship. God wants you to take it into Monday through Saturday. That God is constantly on your thought. God, what would you do in this situation? Praying, talking to Him throughout the day. Just like you don't have to go to the altar and pray for 2 hours. It's just like you have this conversation with God all through the day with everything that you're doing, every situation, every decision that you're making. That's when you're walking in the love of God. And God loves that because God wants fellowship with you. All right, here's number two. With loving God, you got to love people. And I think, and I'm going to say this real quick before we get into about loving others. The first person you need to learn how to love is yourself. Because you can't love others until you love yourself. God loves you, and you need to get that revelation that God loves you. Get that, so not just here, but in here, so that you can properly love yourself, forgive yourself, so that you can love and forgive others. So love people. If you want God's favor, then here's what I want to tell you to start doing. Start caring for people. Here's the deal. Get your mind off yourself for one cotton-picking second and think about somebody else. Pray for somebody else. Send somebody else a text. Instead of sitting there going, I wish somebody would encourage me and send me a text, send somebody else a text, okay? Call somebody else and encourage them. When you sit down in a conversation and talk to somebody, be a listener. Like, I want to listen. I want to hear your story. Forget mine for a while, you know? And I can be sitting there I'm holding a story. I'm like, my gosh, if I told you my story, it ain't nothing like your story. My story would blow your story away, right? You know? And you're just like, God's saying, just shut your mouth. And just listen and minister to them right now. Because this moment's not about you. And when we get in situations, people make it about themselves all the time. I used to do that. And God finally told me, He said, Mark, you love me, but you know what? The world don't revolve around Mark Haney. Okay? There's other people out there that I want you to minister to and talk to. But you're going to have to shut your mouth so that you can hear them. And listen. And because people don't know, they don't care how many, here's the deal with me as a pastor, because they don't care how many revelations I got from the Word of God this week. Okay, they don't care how many. I love what Will Bowie calls them, Holy Spirit chicken nuggets that I got from the Word of God this week. All right, they don't care about that. What they want to know: do you really care for me? Do you really hear me? Do you really see me and what I'm going through? And everybody said, and that here I'm talking as a pastor, but that's not just for a pastor. That's for any Christian out there. Is that because every one of us are ministers? And so if we can just get our mind off ourselves, we can effectively minister to other people. And it takes practice. Because by default, all we think about, I just think about Mark Haney and what's best for Mark Haney. And God's saying, Mark, here's what the deal. Can you put yourself aside and put yourself in somebody else's shoes for just a little bit? Because if you can do that, then you can really minister to other people. And that's what Jesus did all the time. Matthew 25, verse 40 says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And this is a choice, guys. It's a choice to put yourself aside and think about somebody else. Okay? I feel like the Holy Spirit, why I'm really on, because I put 10 points down, and this is how I pray, okay? I put 10 points down, and I think in my mind, okay, if I spend 3 on 10, 3, that's a 30-minute message. 4, 40, 5, 50, then I'm probably, everybody's gone, and they're thinking about lunch, right? I mean, as a pastor, I think about that. But I also put it aside and say, Holy Spirit, you highlight which one needs to be highlighted today, because you know who's going to be sitting in here. I don't. And I feel like right now God is highlighting this one is because we are so selfish. We don't think about other people. And then we wonder why we're not walking in the favor of God. And the reason why I preface this is because God illuminated something. Here's the Holy Spirit chicken nugget for you. I'm just going to say Holy Spirit nugget. I can't put chicken in there. I'm sorry. Ruth chapter 2 verses, that was a joke, by the way. Ruth chapter 2 verses 11 through 12. All right, we're going to have a little fun with this. And this is where the Lord showed me this. It says, Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How many of you got great mother-in-laws in here? Yeah, you better raise your hand. If she's here today, you better raise your hand. Since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, favor of God, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. The reason why I read this to you is because loving people is Naomi, if you know this story, and I don't have time to go into the whole story because we have 10 points. Naomi had two daughter-in-laws. Only one chose her. Now, Naomi gave them a choice, and she said, won't you guys go back? Because what happened, their husbands had passed away. Naomi's husband, all the men had passed away. And she told them, she told her two, I think the other one's name's Orpah, I think was her name. Not Oprah, Orpah. And Ruth. And Ruth, we all know about Ruth. We got a whole book named after her. Plus, she's in the lineage of Jesus, okay? But there was a choice given to those two daughter-in-laws. And she said, won't you all go back to your people and find a husband? And Ruth says, and I was going to put that scripture in here, but I didn't. She says, I'm going with you, Naomi, because your God is going to be my God, and your people are going to be my people. And this is what the Lord showed me. Ruth saw the favor of God on Naomi and says, I want that. And she made the right choice. And Boaz noticed this on Ruth and says, because you've done this, because you chose your mother-in-law, because you chose to love somebody. And I love how God puts this in the scenario of a mother-in-law, because we all have that connotation of a mother. It's hard to love your mother-in-law, you know. But Ruth said, or Boaz said, because you loved your mother-in-law, God's favor is upon you. There's your nugget. There's your revelation for this week. So love people. She chose not to do her own thing. She chose to go with her mother-in-law at that point, okay? And let me just say this, preface. So I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying this morning. That's why every choice you make, you need to take to prayer. Because when that choice, if you was there in that moment, in that choice with your husband had passed away and your own mother-in-law telling you, go back to your people and find another husband, that sounds like a good idea, right? But Ruth, matter of prayer, chose to go with Naomi. So make sure that all your choices you bring before the Lord. Because sometimes good choices aren't God choices. So you need to find out what the God choice is for your life. 10 keys to the favor of God. Hate what God hates. Hate what God hates. You know, we said love God, love people. And then number 3, hate what God hates. And this needs to be taught more. Revelation 2 verse 6 says, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I hope I said that right, Nicolaitans, which I also hate. That's coming from the voice of God. God is saying, you have found favor with me because you hate the practices that they do. So I looked up what they did for you, okay, the Nicolaitans. And I'm going to just basically, you can go real deep in this, but I'm going to basically sum it up like this. This is the summary of it. These people use God's grace as a license to sin, as a license to celebrate immorality and idolatry because, oh, we're covered by the grace of God. God hates that. That's not what his grace is for. Your grace is not a license to sin. Let me tell you this, because this is so powerful. Grace doesn't cover sins. Grace cleanses sin. Because if you're saying grace just covers my sin, you're spitting on the cross in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is so powerful. It's better than, Hebrews tells us, it's better than bulls and goats because it doesn't just cover your sin for a year. The blood of Jesus cleanses your sin forever. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. That's why every demon in hell trembles when you say the blood of Jesus. So here is the deal, guys. And this teaching slips into the church a lot, and it's in the church today. God's grace is not a license to sin. You know, if God's grace ought to bring conviction to you, not, oh, okay, I can still do that and cover it with grace. No, you can't. No, there's some things that you need to get under the blood. And everybody said, amen, okay? Grace is not a license to sin. God don't like that. Here's another scripture about what God hates. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. God hates that, okay? Those are the 6 things, or the 7 things that God does not like. And I'm just going to tell you what the Word says. God hates them. And we ought to hate them too. And we ought to stand up against them when we see it. Okay, here's 10 things to the favor of God. Number 4 is be generous. Don't be stingy. Look at somebody and say, don't be stingy. Got too many stingy Christians today. Amen. Don't be one. Be generous. Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 25 says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So if you're generous, favor of God's on you. And if you want to get more of the favor of God on you, be more generous. It's the total opposite of this world. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 7 is a New Testament scripture for you on this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God wants you to put a smile on your face and be generous. Amen? And that's giving of your time, your talent, and your treasures. All of the above. Okay, here's number 5, 10 keys to the favor of God. Number 5 is be faithful. Be faithful. I had a guy that would always call me up, and this is in years ago, because he always wanted to know what revelation I had or what was, you know, the prophetic word that I had for now and all this. And I kind of, I'll be honest with you, in the beginning of it, when he would do this to me, and he didn't do it all the time, just every now and then, in the beginning of it, it would put me under pressure. Okay? I'm like, my gosh, I need to have a word for this guy. You know, I mean, it would. It was like, okay, God, what are you telling me? You know, and it would just put me under this undue pressure, and I took it to the Lord one day, and I was like, God, when this guy calls, do I need to give him word every time he calls me? And, you know, or have some great revelation? And he said, Mark, I just want you to start telling him this. Be faithful. What's the great revelation, Mark? Be faithful. And one day I was asking the Lord about this. I said, why do you tell me to tell him to be faithful? And because I did this like two or three times, and he quit calling. Okay? And he said, because Mark, he's not faithful. All he's doing is running around looking for a revelation and looking for a prophetic word. Yeah, somebody else do the work for him. He's not being faithful to me in a relationship with me. Just tell him to be faithful. But I was actually telling him that what Lord's telling me is just be faithful. And here's the deal. We're not to, and I thank God when God gives those nuggets and those revelations and all this, but every one of us in here, we have jobs, we have families, we're living day to day, we're married day to day, and all that God wants you to do day to day is be faithful. And then if God's going to tell you something or show you something, he'll do it. But what he wants from you is just be faithful. Be faithful. And this is in Genesis 6, verses 7 through 9. Because, guys, we are living in a day and hour of the last days. And when I look at the last days, when Jesus said to look back at the days of Noah, what I found was Noah, what he was doing was he was found faithful. That's why I want the Lord to find me, is faithful. Jesus is about to come back. This ark, this grace that we're under, this ark of grace that we're under that God's calling all people to come into, the door is about to close. And then there's not going to be no more second chances. Amen? And I want to be found faithful. And in Genesis 6, verses 7 through 9, it says, so the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Look at somebody and say, be faithful. This is a day and hour of being faithful to God. Here's the sixth one, is be righteous. Be righteous. I'm going to say this. We can do righteous deeds, but who makes us righteous is Jesus. You were made righteous because of what happened at the cross. But then God wants us to be righteous. He wants us to live in righteous ways. Psalms 5, verse 12 says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. So there's that fog, the favor of God. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Is everybody in Psalms 15? I'm going to show you what David said. And I'm pretty much believing that David, when we all know David wasn't a perfect guy, okay? He wasn't perfect, but God said he's a man after my own heart. And in Psalms chapter 15, he tells us this was his makeup, okay, what David was after in his own life. And I'm just going to give you, it's verses 1 through 5. That's all the scriptures that are there. And I want to encourage you, it would do us all well, me included, to read this every day because this is what God wants out of all of us. Psalms chapter 15, verse 1 says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live on your holy hill, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury or without interest, and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Psalms chapter 15. God wants us all to be righteous. Look at somebody and say, be righteous. All right, here's number 7. Everybody learning something today? Number 7 is be submitted. Be submitted. One of a beautiful story in the book of Esther is the story of Esther in the book of Esther. And Jade and I had the honor of going to Sight and Sound Theater in Branson, Missouri. When you go to Branson, I encourage you to go there. Is Esther still showing there? Does anybody know that? Okay, I'm telling you, it is awesome. so awesome that Megan's here today, because I'd always tell her the anointing that was on Esther is upon Megan, the favor of God. And so in this, it's a beautiful story. Y'all need to go see it if you can, at Branson. And you see how God, it just comes out in this play, that they just bring it to life. But Esther was submitted to the Lord, and as she was submitted to the Lord, God raised her up in the midst of all that to save a nation. And there was a lot of things that she did to attract the favor of God. In Esther 2 verse 15, it says, when the turn came for Esther to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And when I was thinking about when Jade and I saw the play, all these other girls that were being brought to for the king, they listened to some of the stuff the guy said, but then they tried to add their own stuff. They were trying to think, and what is the king like? I'm going to try this. And when Esther was brought before, she said, I'm not going to do anything except for what he tells me. I'm not going to add any more to it. I'm just going to be me, and then I'm going to do what he tells me. She was totally submitted to the process. Esther shows us how submission brings favor. Here's I'm going to say this right now, because I've seen this happen in ministry. Is if you're gifted from God, you don't have to name drop. That's the only name that you need to be submitted to. If you're really called of God and gifted of God and favored of God, you don't have to name drop. I see people do it in business all the time. They name drop, do this and do that. If you're really walking with God, you don't have to name drop. God makes a way for you where there seems to be no way. Amen. So she didn't name drop. Esther shows us how submission brings favor. She didn't take matters into her own hands. This is an ingredient to receiving favor. She exemplified submission, humility, and confidence in God, and won the favor of everyone who saw her. It's a wonderful story. You need to read the book of Esther. Every young girl in here ought to read the book of Esther. 10 keys to the favor of God. Number 8 is be humble. This is something that we're not, and we have to make ourselves humble. Amen. How many of you had life's humble pie? I've had several servings of it, okay, in life. And about the time, here's the deal, about the time you think you're humble, yeah, that's when a whole new pie comes along. You know, here's this one, Mark, taste this one, right? And it was awesome funny, because I can't remember what somebody's going to tell me after church. If you know this scripture, please tell me, because I'm just thinking of it up here right now. But there's a scripture in the first 5 books of the Bible which Moses wrote. And one of the scriptures, he says, one of the most humble guys on the planet was Moses. And I was reading that one day, and I was like, God, man, that is awesome that you said about Moses. He said, no, I didn't say that. He said it. I was like, oh, my gosh, Moses, what are you doing? You know, Moses said, I'm the most humble guy on the planet. No, Moses was a very angry pastor. Okay, if you read keep reading. He struck the rock several times because he was mad at everybody. So be humble. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble humility is something that we have to choose. It's a choice, because we're all self-righteous and prideful and all those things, so we have to choose to be humble. Okay. Through her, and I'm still talking about Esther here, through her humility, Esther received immediate care and attention, provision, the best place, the best helpers, the best assistants and attendants. Furthermore, her favor created favor for all the people that were around her. And it was through her humility and her submission, because humility goes right along with submission. It wasn't this. It wasn't her name dropping. It wasn't her beauty or the perfume that she had on that day that attracted God's favor. Amen? It was her attitude of humility and submission. And through our humility, we can create an atmosphere of favor in our lives that can overflow to others. If you've ever been around somebody that is humble, they just attract the favor of God. If you've ever been around somebody that's prideful, it's like, you know, everybody knows you have bad breath but you, right? That kind of a deal. And so when there's somebody that's prideful, that just repels people. It doesn't attract the favor of God, nor does it attract people at all. People pick up on that pretty quick. So humility and submission is where we want to be, and those are choices that you have to make. Here's number nine. Be honest. Be honest. Proverbs 11:1 says, "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him." Have you ever been in a situation where you could have been dishonest and nobody would have caught you? That's when God wants to see if you're honest. Not when everybody's looking and it's in front of everybody else. It's in those quiet times, in those moments. I had a moment like that here at church one time. I'm just going to tell you about this. Okay, as a pastor, I was warned early on by an older pastor, thank God, and I'm never forgot it. But he told me three things. He said, "Mark, you're going to have to guard your life and your ministry on three things." He said, "The gold." Yeah, they all started with a G, by the way. He said, "The gold, the girls, and the glory." And he said, they all start with G. So that helps you remember them. The gold is money. Okay? A lot of ministers have fallen because of money, problems, and scandals, and all those kind of things. Don't ever want that to happen here. Don't want that to happen to me. Number two is the girls. Because women that don't have men that are spiritual leaders are attracted to pastors. I'm just telling you the facts. I can't tell you how many times, I can think of one time Jada told me, she's coming for prayer a little too much. So she needs to go pray with a woman. Okay? Just tell them the truth. Gold, the girls, and then the glory. The glory is, they all scare me, but this one really does. When somebody tries to share the glory that's supposed to go to God, and then they want to share it with God. God doesn't share his glory with anybody else. God gets all the glory. So those three things. And so I had a situation, I'm going to tell a situation about that I had with gold, okay? I was here at the church one day. I'm here by myself. My daughter had been here that morning. It was a Sunday morning church, but she had a flat. So her car got parked out here because it had a flat. She said, "Dad, I want you to stay after church so you can put my spare on." I said, "Okay, I can do that, Dad. I know how to do that." So, and everybody left the day, and I go out in the church parking lot, and I jack up this, and I get the tire off, and I go back here in the back, and I find that little bitty donut, you know, and open up, and this was a pre-owned car that we bought for Taya, pre-owned vehicle. First time we'd ever changed the tire on it, the flat on it. I open it up, and I see this envelope in there with a spare tire, and this envelope is real thick. It's a manila envelope, and it's really thick, and I was like, "Man, what is that?" And I grab it, and I open it up, and I was like, "Man, this is my lucky day." Talk about the favor of God, you know. And it's just packed full of $100 bills. So I'm sitting out there on the trunk, church parking lot, pastor on a Sunday, all by myself. I start going through. I'm wondering how much money is in here. So I start going through there. End up, there's $4,000 in this envelope. I was like, "Wow." I was like sitting there going, "Lord, how long have we had this car?" "About a year." "Ah, they don't remember." I'm just telling you my thoughts, okay? Y'all are looking at me like, you're looking at me way holy this morning, way holy. I was like, "They don't remember this. They don't remember this. Man, this could pay some bills. It could really help out. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I found this today. This is awesome." And this is where people get caught up in justifying things and then saying, "God did this." Okay, God didn't. This was a test if I was going to be honest. And I sit there, and I was like, "Well," I'm like, "Got him in the church parking lot." He goes, "Does it matter if he's at home and you found this? Because it shouldn't matter." Because a lot of people, I'm saying this for this, because a lot of people say, "Well, I'm going to tell the truth to church, but when I get home, I'm going to lie like a dog," right? You know, God sees it everywhere. Amen. And so I was sitting out there on the back of that, and I was like, "4,000, this is awesome, God." And I was just praising God, and God said, "Mark, are you going to do the right thing?" Did I hesitate? No, I didn't, because it already went through my mind. There's no way I could do this. Nobody else would know, but I would, and I couldn't go to sleep at night if I had ever done that. Now, I'm going to caution everybody with this, okay? If I would have chose not to have turned that in and said, and it's just I know this. No, he knows it. And what happens to you as a person, now, somebody needs to hear this today. Because what happens to you is the Bible talks that you sear your conscience so that you don't hear God the next time that something like that happens. You don't even feel the conviction of God because you sear your conscience. I don't want a seared conscience. I want a conscience that's in tune with the Holy Spirit that will convict me when something's wrong. And the Holy Spirit was there saying, the right thing to do, Mark, here. But I had this other one, yeah, the enemy, speaking, nobody's going to know. You're $4,000 richer today. God's saying, Mark, the right thing to do is to turn this into the rightful owner. So I called the person where we bought the vehicle from, turned it into the righteous owner. They couldn't believe that we turned it in, okay, number one, after they'd been gone that long and for a year. And then they said, we're going to give you a finder's fee of $400. So I walked away with $400. They gave me 10%. God says, well, there's your tithe, Mark, off the $4,000 from finding it. I'm saying all that to say this, guys. We all go through things like that where we can be honest or dishonest. And God sees the big and the little. And when we're honest, it helps us to stay in tune with God, have our conscience in tune with God. We're hearing from God, but it also helps us to keep walking in the favor of God. The favor of God in my life is worth way more than $4,000. Way more than $4,000. Genesis 39, verse 4 says, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted his care everything he owned. In his care, everything he owned. Joseph was an honest man, and that's why Joseph found favor in Potiphar's house. And if you'll study the life of Joseph, he found favor wherever he went because he walked in these 10 things. He was an honest man. He was trustworthy, and he found favor. Even in prison, he found favor. Okay, here's the last one. Number 10 is to get wisdom. 10 keys to the favor of God is get wisdom. The Bible tells us in the book of James that anybody can ask for wisdom, and God gives it generously to all those that ask. Wisdom is a key to favor. As Solomon makes it clear in the book of Proverbs, he says this in Proverbs 8, verse 35, for those who find me, wisdom, find life and receive favor from the Lord. God wants to give you wisdom, and that wisdom comes with his favor. The other chapter I told you to turn to, or only the other passage in the New Testament, was Luke chapter 2. This is verse 52. And it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I'm going to tell you something. Favor is something you grow in. And if Jesus had to grow in it, then so do we. Okay? If he had to grow physically, he grew physically, his stature. If he had to grow in wisdom, wisdom is something else you grow in by getting the Word of God. Favor is something else that you grow in. Growing in the favor of God depends on our first becoming favor-minded, what I said at the beginning, then developing faith in the favor of God, and finally becoming determined to increase in that favor. And so as you use these 10 keys, I believe you're going to see the favor of God on your life. Amen. And remember, favor comes in stages. You have to grow in it. You're not going to become just maximum favor all at once. It's something that you grow in as you develop. It's like a muscle. Develop this. Every time you see the favor of God, say, that's the fog. That's the fog. That's the favor of God. I'm walking in the favor of God, and it just keeps building your faith for more of it, and you're going to see more and more of it. And everybody said, amen. Because, and this is the last scripture today, Psalms 30, verse 5, God's favor lasts a lifetime. That $4,000 would have ran out, but God's favor lasts a lifetime. God, you cannot put a value on God's favor. It's priceless. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to make sure that everyone here under the sound of my voice and those that are watching online and listening by radio that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step of receiving salvation. That's the first step of even walking in the favor of God, is that you know his Son, because his Son is the one that restored the relationship that we all lost in the Garden of Eden with the Father because of what he did at the cross for each and every one of us. And how you do that, Romans 10 verse 13 says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation today, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Even those that are, you know that you're saved, I want you to repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. That's the first time that you have prayed that prayer. Then your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that Easter Sunday because we're going to have water baptism Easter Sunday. If you'd like to get baptized on Easter Sunday, let me know. And you guys have a blessed day today. Jada, come up here and we're going to bless you guys. And have a happy St. Patrick's Day. I want everybody to stand up. And I want you, if you get your family there, I want you to join hands with them. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Dad. Yeah, there we go. All right. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. May the favor of God rest on you. Have a blessed week.